My name is Dan, and I have the privilege of serving as the teaching pastor for us at Life Point Worthington. And if this is your first time at this church, or whether or not you've been at other Life Point churches in the past, if this is your first time with us today, we'd love for you to take a moment and fill out one of our welcome cards. Very easy to do. You can take out your smartphone and just tap that QR code that's right on the seat in front of you. That's going to bring you to a landing page, lpguest.com, where you can fill out the welcome card. It takes 30 seconds, and we'll make a $5 donation to one of our partner ministries in your honor, just as a way of saying thank you for being here. It allows you to do just something good today in being here together. You'll also find our notes app. You can follow along the message on our notes app. You can post questions on the notes app. If you've got anything that I say that you got questions about, go ahead and put them in the notes app, and we will follow up with you later on in the week. All right, like I said, today is a very important Sunday for us for a couple reasons. One, we just had child dedication. Number two, we are celebrating 20-year anniversary for Life Point Church. 20 years of Life Point Church. 20 years. And today we're going to do something that is at the same time, I think, a very powerful exercise, if you will. Very powerful exercise, and something that is very foreign to us culturally today. Something we don't really have time to do or have the ability to do very often. We want to pause, and we want to look back. We want to look back at the stories that God has kind of woven together. We want to look back at our own origin story for a moment as a church family for Life Point and also Life Point Worthington. We want to celebrate what that is. But the thing is, all of us know how powerful it is to pause and kind of look back for a moment, right? This is why almost all of us have the opportunity. We have those friend groups that we get together with, and even if it's been 15 years, you sit down and you all start sharing stories of like, hey, remember that time when we, you know, fill in the blank, or hey, my kids are in earshot, don't remember that time out loud with us right now, okay? Like and there's something like very powerful about that moment where you pause and you remember and you look back. There's something about looking back to your past that really informs not only who you are, but who you are becoming. You know, it's interesting, I have the opportunity pretty often to work with couples who are about to get married, and if I officiate a wedding, I always say, hey, we're going to have three or four meetings before that, just want to work through a couple exercises together to help you get ready for marriage. And my favorite question, I always start my first session the same way. We're talking about families of origin stuff, and I look to the soon-to-be bride, and I say, okay, I want you to imagine a wedding, a marriage between your mom, and I look at the groom, and I say, and your dad, what would that marriage look like? 90% of the time, people say, that would be an unmitigated disaster. Right? Now, this is not a death sentence, right? You can take a moment, kind of run through that your own exercise, your own version of that. Sometimes it's flip-flopped a little bit. It's like, hey, what would her dad married to his mom look like? And it doesn't tell you everything, but one of the things it does is it kind of highlights some potential areas of conflict. It kind of says, hey, maybe there are some areas where we're going to need to work. Why? Because when you know your own story, when you take the moment to pause and kind of look back, it informs a lot more of who you are and who you are becoming. And this is what we want to do this morning as a church family. We want to take that pause. We want to look back. We want to be able to celebrate. We actually want to join in the long biblical tradition, where well over 300 times the Bible reminds us to go back and retell stories of God's faithfulness. We want to be a part, a people who pause and look back and reflect. And so in a couple of moments, we're going to have an opportunity to do that. And it's going to feel strange for some of you because maybe you're not a part of Life Point at all. Or maybe like you've only been here two or three times. Right? But this is a reminder that God has been at work. And even if it's not your story, your specific story, it is the story of what God has been doing that we, for this moment, in this moment in time, we are a part of right now. We get to celebrate that. For some of you, you're going to be able to look back and say, like, I was there at the very beginning of Life Point. You're going to have that flood of memories of like, hey, remember that time when, fill in the blank. And we're going to rehearse over and over and over again the story of God's faithfulness, because what we will find is that when we look back and see that God is faithful, then that is going to give us every reason to believe as we look forward that he will be faithful then. And to do that this morning, we're going to look at a passage of scripture from the New Testament book of Hebrews. So if you have a Bible with you, you can open up to Hebrews. It's in the New Testament towards the very end. If you can't find it, the table of contents is your friend. And if you have a fake Bible on your phone, you can just tap Hebrews. It's also going to be on the screen behind me. I'm going to read through this passage. I'll pray and then we'll get started. Hebrews chapter 12. Starting in verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and every sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand, the throne of God. Let me pray for us this morning. God, we want to pause. I want to pause for a moment and recognize that you are one who knows what we need before we even open up our mouths to ask. You are one who knows each one of our stories. You are one who knows that when we have the invitation to kind of look back, for some of us, there's a reason we don't look back into our past. A lot of painful things that we have encountered is hard. We do not want to go back there. God, you are one who knows each one of us. And yet you are one who invites each one of us to come to you. And as Psalm 55 says, to take all of our cares, all of our anxieties, and lay them before you. And so today we practice that. A place the things that we're carrying maybe with us over the last week or maybe the last season of life. Bring these before you, and your word promises that you will sustain us in that. Not that everything will magically get better, that it will all go away, but that you will meet us and you will sustain us. So we ask that you do that work today. God, as we pause and as we look back at the story of our own church for Life Point in Central Ohio, God, you'd remind us of your great faithfulness to us. You'd remind us that we are in just as much of need as of your grace then as we are today in this moment. And so we trust you to speak powerfully to us. Don't let us be a people who just keep moving on to the very next thing, to the next thing, the next hill, the next challenge. But would we be those who pause, who look back, and we celebrate what you are doing? Because this story is not about us, it's about you. So we thank you, we trust you, we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, Hebrews chapter 12 is actually a very interesting passage when we get to this part in the letter. In fact, the book of Hebrews is probably not so much a letter as much as it is a sermon written down by one of the earliest Christian pastors that was passed around local followers of Jesus. And in this message, they're trying to understand how God is able to work through an incredible hardship that they are experiencing, where life is very challenging. It's written to primarily a Jewish audience of people who have been kicked out of their homeland and trying to make sense of what God is doing in this moment. The author of Hebrews comes back over and over again with the resounding message that God has been faithful and he will be faithful. He has been faithful and he will be faithful. There's kind of this iconic passage kind of leading up to what we're looking at in chapter 12 in Hebrews chapter 11. Sometimes it is called the Hall of Fame of Faith, where the author kind of goes through all of these major characters from the Old Testament and says, hey, remember this story. Remember this story. Look at the faith of Abraham, of Moses, of David, of Jephthah, and kind of runs through this whole host of characters. And we talked about this a few months ago. The interesting piece was when you go back and look at some of these stories that are referenced in Hebrews chapter 11, most of them are not good. Actually, more than half of them are people that you'd say, I don't want to be like that. And yet, for some reason, the book of Hebrews is holding them up and saying, hey, remember these stories. Remember these stories. Over and over and over again. And it finally gets to this climactic moment in chapter 12. This is the punchline, right? If you read through those stories and don't get to chapter 12, you miss the point that he's trying to make. He says this in chapter 12, starting in verse 1 again. It's on the screen behind me. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And what he's talking about is those very stories that he just shared. That you look back, you remember all of what God has been doing. It's not that those people individually were perfect models of faith and crushing it every time. It's that in spite of all of their failures, God was still using them. God was still at work. God was still active. The point is not to look at their faithfulness, but God's faithfulness as they look back. And that's what reflection does to us. Right? It actually invites us to take a moment to stop and say, I'm going to choose to push back against the wild busyness of life that always has me hustling to the next thing. And look and say, God, where have you been at work? And we're going to have an opportunity to practice that right now. I want you to take a moment and check out this video on the screen. This video is going to go through some of the story of LifePoint, not all of it. And again, the point is not to celebrate LifePoint. It's to celebrate God's consistent faithfulness as we look back at so great a cloud of witnesses. Take a look at the screen.
Yeah, so Angie and I were living in Memphis at the time. Things were going really well there before God used a couple of friends here in Columbus, both of whom reached out to us and asked us if we would consider coming to Columbus to plant. For me, this was coming home. For Angie, this was moving away from her family. We wanted to come to Ohio, to Columbus with a team. Troy and Shane have worn so many hats and have endured, you know, my growth as the lead pastor along the way, and it has been so much fun.
We got to a point where we stopped really caring about where we were. It's more about where can we go and do the things that we feel like we are equipped and called to do.
Not only was he preparing our hearts, but he was preparing the hearts of people here to be a part of a church plant that they didn't even know was going to exist.
I remember that first night we met at the Westerville Community Center, right before the service started, pacing up and down the hallway, mentally going over the sermon in my head, but all the while peeking at the parking lot and seeing if anybody was coming.
Honestly, we were just looking for like a big church where we can slip in and slip out. And a buddy of mine said, hey, you ought to come check out this small group that I'm part of. And so they were meeting in the Westerville Community Center Sunday nights. So we decided to go and we've been here ever since.
When you are in a very small body like that, there's about 60 of us, you really can't hide. So I guess we felt needed. And wanted, and it, like, people actually cared.
And the very first time we came to Life Point, we met every single pastor. I didn't want to meet everybody, but it turned out to be a good thing. And within a couple weeks, we were in the nursery.
You could tell that they were excited, that they had a vision for what God was doing here north of Columbus, and we wanted to be a part of that.
There were just moments along the way that were filled with such great joy over provision, and man, this is not fun, you know? I remember one time we missed payroll, and you wonder then, am I gonna be able to pay my light bill, or how am I gonna go home and tell my wife this? And man, the Lord was just so faithful all along the way to give us exactly what we need.
Rich Halcom from Strategic Church Network reached out to us and said, hey, there's a church, part of our network up in Delaware, and they're trying to figure out their future.
I grew up going to Delaware Baptist Church, and we were a small church and a small congregation. And our pastor had moved, and our church had a series of meetings with Dean, and through all those questions, we voted to merge with LifePort.
By Easter, we had painted the interior of the building, and we had put down some new carpet. I think we had 208 people crammed into that building for Easter Sunday morning.
The very next Sunday, we're walking in, and Sandy Seeley, who was one of the original members from Delaware Baptist Church, comes around the corner, and she's got big tears in her eyes. She leans into me and hugs me, and she says, "This is what we have been praying for years and years and years at Delaware Baptist Church."
In Easter 2007, we knew we were gonna probably need some more space. We had been growing.
And we looked everywhere, and you know, when you're a church plant, the budget's not great. So they had to just exhaust all options. And you know, they ended up finding a car dealership that had, you know, just gone out of business and was vacant.
I remember kind of walking the space and trying to figure out where in a big mechanical shop a kid's room could be.
And I remember Mark from our team, he of course didn't say it to me then, but he's told me since, he really felt like we were nuts. He's like, no one is gonna come to a car dealership, right?
And I was like, whatever. Like, you know, there's no way.
But man, it was incredible. People came to know Christ. It was unbelievable.
Everyone was all together, and I was just overcome with emotion to see how much God had grown our church at that point, because we'd never seen everyone all together.
That particular sermon, Dean, for some reason, brought in a chainsaw.
He brought a chainsaw out on stage.
Dean had a message that involved a chainsaw and cutting down trees.
I remember the message a little bit that day. I used a chainsaw live as an illustration, which may or may not have worked, but people seem to lean into it whenever the chainsaw started up.
He fired that bad boy up, and let me tell you, it smoked everybody.
I talked with Troy after service, Easter service, and I was like, how many do we have? He's like, we had 407, and I just blew my mind. I knew that God was the wind pushing LifePoint, and all of us pastors were just trying to not get in the way of what God was doing.
I feel like the same mission that we embraced whenever we came here is the same mission that we embrace today. But the expression of our church to become a multiplying, sending church, instead of just trying to get more people to come to one location, has been both a fun and challenging journey.
When you think about the church is much more like an organism than it is an organization. And when a church is healthy, it grows and it multiplies.
It is one of the most evangelistic things you can do is to be involved in a campus launch. Typically, what we've noticed here is that people might come to one of our campuses from another area. They're driving to get here, and that becomes the nucleus of a campus launch.
It's really neat to see firsthand what's happening in your community that you live in and how it's impacting people.
If we're gonna walk with our people, we gotta be where they are.
I have my neighbor coming who I've been praying for years, but when he heard about it being in Lewis Center or Delaware, it was like, that's too far. Come to Westerville and it's right down the street. And so he's here, his family's here. And that's one example that I could multiply by, 20 or 30 times.
When I think about community, I think about a place where each person has an opportunity to discover their gifts and to become all that God's created them to be. I think about a place where people are there like family. So we came here to be a part of a community called LifePoint, a place where no one walks alone.
Nobody walks alone at LifePoint. There's always somebody here to pray with or pray with you or pray for you.
That is one of my favorite statements here. Definitely takes place in our life groups. That's where we see it the most.
When you have those people around you that love you and care for you, they're going to show you the truth and show you what the Word says.
My mom had passed away and we're from Eastern PA. And we were standing there at my mom's viewing, and Troy Palermo walked in. He literally took a flight from Columbus to Philly and then drove an hour to Allentown. And it was just a blessing all around to be able to be just loved.
Tyler, my son, had been diagnosed at 6 years old with type 1 diabetes. And so I found myself in the emergency room with him. The whole life group came to the hospital and had Colleen and I come down and prayed over us.
I'm so blessed to be able to watch the body minister in the context of groups to people who have needs that in those moments they have needs that they don't even know that they have. But God is working through His people to meet the needs.
I think that God has blessed LifePoint because it's His work. We get the blessing of watching God bring to fruition His work in our midst, and we have not stopped watching it grow for 20 years.
It's not going to happen because a staff member or a teaching pastor or a student pastor or kids pastor does something special. It's going to happen because the body of Christ says, this is who we feel like God has called us to be as we follow the Great Commandment and follow the Great Commission.
I think God's just answering the prayers of His people, and He's using LifePoint to do it.
The future for LifePoint is very bright. With the strategies and the vision in place, I think LifePoint has the potential to grow with even more campuses and even more people.
Prayerfully, it'll be men and women, single people, husbands, wives, waking up every day, spending time with God, going to work, with His eyes looking, seeing the opportunities of His activity and what He is drawing them towards in the context of the beauty of His church.
It's entirely possible to watch a video like that and walk away thinking, how self-absorbed is a church to look at a story and tell the story about itself? And yet if we do that, I think we miss the real heart of why God calls us to go back and rehearse stories of His faithfulness. Because over and over again, it is not about what we have been able to do. The point is to look back and say, God, look at what You have been able to do. And God uses those stories in our own lives to remind us that as He has been faithful then, He will be faithful then. He will continue to show His faithfulness to us into the future. And I think that becomes very apparent as you continue working through this passage in Hebrews chapter 12. Remember, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, so such a rich tapestry of stories of what God has been doing, of his activity over the last 20 years just for our own church, and well beyond that, the author of Hebrews says, let us also lay aside every weight and every sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You see, the point is there is work that God has been doing, but he is not done. There is still work to be done, that as his people, as his church, we are called to run the race with endurance. And I think that word is really intentional, because what it reminds me, and let's talk about Life Point Worthington for a moment. What God has called us to is not easy work. It's not easy work. I mean, you think about this. He has placed our church family in one of the most rapidly growing and changing areas in the country, with people all over the world coming to Columbus, moving here, putting down roots here in this city, with different worldviews, different ideas of what it means to live life, what the good life actually looks like. We know that an increasing population, rapidly increasing, has a rejection of Christian faith, right? They don't want anything to do with any type of religious teaching at all. God has placed us right at the epicenter of one of the greatest migrational shifts in our nation's history, right here. And he has said, go in this community, in this place, go and be my witnesses here. Hebrews says, run that race with endurance. And for the last year and some change, those of you who have made Life Point Worthington home, you know we have been running with endurance. It's been hard. It has been hard. You may have had to move away from family or deep relationships you've had with other Life Point family members. You may have come to something that is a lot less comfortable. I mean, we don't have this flashy space where we meet in on a Sunday morning. Y'all have to deal with me going way too long preaching on Sunday mornings. Imagine my consternation when I found out there was a 12-minute video. Don't tell anyone I said that. There have been hard things that have been set before us. And yet Hebrews encourages us to continue to look ahead to what we believe God will continue to do, not for our fame, but for Jesus' name in this city. In this community, let me remind you what we believe God has called us to in the community of Worthington. We believe God has called us to reach 1% of the city of Worthington. What I mean by that is 1% of people who right now are not following Jesus, who are far from God and have no desire for relationship with him at all, that we would see 1% of our city become followers of Jesus here in the life of our church. Right? That's 140 people baptized, transformed in the name of Jesus here for his kingdom, for his sake, for his fame, not for ours, so that we would see our city turned upside down because of the name of Jesus, because people are going out about God's kingdom, not their own kingdom, not Columbus kingdom, not Worthington kingdom, but because of Jesus' kingdom, going out and doing good in the name of Jesus. That's what we want to see here in this community, and it takes us running with endurance. Keep reading. Running with endurance, the race set before us, looking to what? To Jesus. You see, the myth that churches fall into is that we have to build a bigger and better and cooler, more compelling show. Now, Hebrews says, you run with endurance, looking to not a pastor, not a brand, not a model, looking to Jesus, who is the founder and perfecter of our faith. I believe God has incredible things in store for Life Point over the next 20 years. In fact, child dedication is just a snapshot reminder of his activity here. It's a reminder that he is entrusting more children into our care as a church family, that we would see grow up here, rooted in Christ here, and be about the kingdom here. Like, it's an exciting picture of God's future activity. But as we look forward, I believe that there's going to be additional campuses around Columbus, not for Life Point's fame. But the warning, I think, in Hebrews is that we have to make sure we don't make this thing about us. Right? That we have a driving concern at Life Point that people are far more impressed with Jesus than they are with us. Why? Because at Life Point, it's not about a pastor who's able to spit some wisdom on a Sunday morning. It's not about a life group leader who's able to share some helpful tips to help you navigate through hard seasons of life. No, at Life Point, we want to be about the founder and perfecter of our faith. Keep reading verse 2, who for the joy that was set before him, Jesus, endured the cross. Right, he stepped into our place, despising the shame of what the cross brings and what it meant, and is seated now at the right hand of God the Father. Right, that Jesus is the one who saves, not a church, not a pastor, not a life group leader. Jesus is the one who saves. And as we look forward to the future of our church, we're saying it is about him. It's all about him. It's not about us. And we know that there is hard work to do, but we want to keep our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. One of the ways that we remind ourselves of this is through the regular practice as followers of Jesus. We believe God calls us to serve, that he calls us to be servants of one another, to serve our church, to serve our community. And so all across Life Point, we are entering into this next season where we are intentionally finding ways where we can serve our community. In fact, as you walked in, you might have seen t-shirts that we have stationed on the tables out there. The reason is, as we have made known to all of our life groups, that over the next week, 2 weeks, we are intentionally finding ways where we can serve our communities. If your life group is serving, we want you to grab one of those t-shirts. Put the t-shirt on when you go and serve this week or next week. If you're not in a life group, we've got an opportunity for anyone here to join in God's activity as we as a church celebrate his faithfulness through serving. October 25th, we're going to take a moment for us to be engaged in the regular rhythm of our city of Worthington, the Halloween on the Green event. And this year, we have been given unprecedented access to serve with Halloween on the Green. The city has given us an entire quarter of the green space down there. And so this is the Life Point section. Do what you want with this. And so we're swinging big. We are swinging big at this event. We believe we need about 35 to 40 of us to say, hey, I'm in. I'm serving. I want to be a part of that. As we provide food, we provide games. We're showing our city that we are a church that shows up, that we are a church that is present, that we are a church that wants to be engaged in this community. It's an incredible opportunity for us to serve this week. And if you want to find out more information or sign up for one of the slots we have for serving, there's a QR code on the screen behind me. You can use your phone and snap a picture of that right now as it shows. By the way, I can see if nobody takes their phone out and takes a picture of it right now. I'll look down so you can do it in private. The point, again, is not look at what Life Point is doing. It's about looking to God's faithfulness. And all of the plans and hopes and dreams that we have for the future of our church, we lay at his feet. I say, God, we want to serve and humbly be a part of what you are doing. Let me close with this and I'll pray. A couple years ago, Courtney and I were on, 12 years ago, I was on my honeymoon. This took place on my honeymoon. Courtney and I went to Salt Lake City. Beautiful. Like I grew up, born and raised in Chicago. I'd never seen a mountain before. I saw hills. I'd never seen a mountain before. We're on our honeymoon, and one of the neat things we got to do in Salt Lake City is ride the ski gondolas. It was May, right before the summer season kicked off, and so every morning I got to go to my coffee shop, get my coffee, and jump on a ski gondola, and we got to ride through the mountains every morning. It was beautiful. And the first couple times we did it, I was very unimpressed with what I was seeing. Here's why. When you ride a ski gondola up a mountain, what you end up doing is you end up either looking down because you shouldn't be this high off the ground without a seatbelt or safety thing, and you look up forward, and you just see this mountain that you're still going up. And the thing is, the elevation from our ski gondola, the way they had set things up, like we really weren't getting higher off the ground. We're about 25 feet off the ground the entire time as we're moving through. And I remember thinking, like, I thought it would feel cooler to do this. Like, I thought I'd feel more like Superman. And instead, I'm just sitting here on this bench going through the mountains. And you never feel like you're making progress because you're just looking down and looking ahead, and the mountains, the peak is still always way up there. And finally, my wife tapped me on the shoulder, and she said, you know what? You got to look behind you. You see, and it's only when you look behind that you realize you're halfway up a mountain. And in the same way, church, when we pause and we look back, we are reminded that God has been at work. He has been at work. He will continue to be at work. And while we are addicted to looking down and looking forward, this looking back reminds us and gives us every reason to believe that if he has been faithful in the past, we know he will be faithful in the future. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your kindness to us today. And as we take a moment to reflect on your story and what you have been doing, Lord, we're reminded from Hebrews 11 that retelling these stories is not about us. It's not about what we have been able to produce. It's not what we've been able to do. It is what you have been able to do. For you have been faithful day after day after day for 20 years. You have been faithful. So we have every reason to believe you'll be faithful in the future for our church family. But God, we also know this individually, that we can look back over the course of our lives and there are moments where we have seen you at work. And it may not be that every experience has been positive. In fact, all of us have deep seasons where we look back and say, God, I never want to experience that again. And yet, Lord, in coming to you, in being centered around you, we are able to look back and see even the most painful seasons of our lives. It's evidence of your hand and your kindness, slowly but steadily at work to bring us to the place we are today. We are able to trust, choose to trust, that you'll be one who provides for us in the future. Rocky as the past may have been, Father, we can choose to believe that even more so it may be in the future, but you will still show yourself to be good. You will be the one whose Psalm 104 reminds us is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, that you are good to all. So, Lord, we look forward with confidence, knowing that we have witnessed your faithfulness and we will see it again. And because we have witnessed it, we will go forward as people who witness to others of your goodness, kindness, and grace. We thank you and trust you and pray all of these things in Jesus' name.